Hello then, welcome to the Car Wash 2.0. This is episode 5. Thank you so much for rocking with us in the previous 4 episodes. For all the love you've given us, we appreciate it. Keep your comments coming, the good, the positive, the negative as well. We take it. My name is Dalmain Favor. I'm your host and I'm not alone. You remember in the last episode, we were one man down. Teko wasn't here, but he is back. So let's welcome Teko back. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because we missed him in the last show.
We did. We did miss him. We did miss him. We did have a special guest, Brian Baloyi,
yeah,
who didn't eat the food, but he did bring the fire in terms of what he was speaking about.
Was he sitting here?
He was sitting there in your place, spider webs and all.
And he brought the wisdom.
He did. So he did. And he brought tears out of you. For those of you who didn't watch episode 4.
Go there.
No, but bro,
no, but he's got an eye problem.
You actually missed the egg. You know, because we are the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Donna is the ugly.
He's the ugly,
He's straightforward. He's the shooter. Yeah?
What did I do?
Yeah, he's the one that people duck for.
Yeah. One episode.
We missed the shooter.
Yeah. And I've heard that a lot, hey? Even from the hierarchy, from
high up.
From the top, you know.
Besheng, I shoot.
Yeah. Suffer president, Mr. Danny Jordan.
And it doesn't miss. He didn't miss. He said it. He said that he enjoys our show and everything.
Thank you.
But hey, he shakes a lot when you're about to mention Safa. I don't know. So I wanted to ask him if you know something that we don't know of or we're not supposed to know.
Yeah.
I'll leave it to you and Dalmain maybe before we leave the show.
We can find out. But thank you to President Jordan for watching the show.
Works, yeah.
And not just him. There's so many positive comments that have come through from people in the football fraternity, which says to you that we are onto something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously that is not possible without you gentlemen. So
thank you.
Speaking of, I want to jump straight in.
Are you looking at me?
Before saying that you guys look good. You guys look good. Linda, I like the leather.
Thank you.
Donna. The bow tie, it looks, this is as per usual. Yeah. So not only do you bring
standard procedure.
Brighton, even with the sling in one arm, let me just check if your right hole is open. Okay, I'm glad, but you know, as a brotherhood, we've got you.
Gents, just stop using the
he must, apparently, if you use the left, but let's
my right hand, guys. What do you mean?
Stop using the hand.
Hey,
were you in a fight?
Let's get to business.
Okay. No, let's get to business.
Yeah.
Gents, I think we have possibly, Linda, and you can attest to that, all of us can, the most exciting league race that we've seen in a very long time. We are in April. Usually by now, we are counting by how many points they would have won it by. They are now seeing if they can finish as invincibles. In January already, it would have been # give them the league.
Say it, Sundowns.
Sundowns, no, of course.
Like
no, I'm not scared to say Sundowns. But there's one team who has won the league for 8 years in a row.
Yeah.
It's Sundowns.
Mamelodi Sundowns.
So by now, we would have said, give Sundowns the league. Sundowns would have now been with games in hand already, having won it, and then they are focusing on CAF. It's not the case this time around, Donna. 7 games to go in the Betway Premiership. 2 points separating Sundowns and Pirates, neck and neck. The one, as soon as they win, Pirates win. As soon as Sundowns win, so very, very tight. I'm looking at it. Pirates remaining matches, 7 games. They have Richards Bay away, AmaZulu at home, Kaizer Chiefs in the derby, sold out, we know that. They're playing Chiefs at the FNB Stadium, which is their home for this fixture. Stellenbosch away, Magesi, they are going to Sesheho Stadium. We've spoken about how difficult it is over there. They have Durban City at home, and then they have Orbit College away. Look at Sundowns, they've got Polokwane City at home, Stellenbosch at home. No, Polokwane City away, apologies. Richards Bay away, Kaizer Chiefs also having a say with Sundowns. They're playing them at home at Loftus, Siwelele at home, TS Galaxy away, and Polokwane City at home.
Sure.
Where do we see this going? There's a month left, literally. Where is it going? And I'll probably start with you, Donna, because you are a comeback kid.
I see it going all the way to possibly maybe the second last fixture of the season.
I strongly believe Kaizer Chiefs is in between anyone that has to lift the trophy.
You think they stand between?
Because they don't need to be on four. They don't need to play well to cause an upset. Yeah. And just to distract what's happening right now. You have Sundown that has just won 10 games in a row. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, they're 2 points ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows you as to then how stiff the competition is. But just because you look at other guys, maybe in other fixtures, with due respect, you might say, okay, Pirates can do a double day, Sundowns can do a double day.
Yeah.
But in Chiefs, it's as much as you can say, yeah, maybe Pirates can do a double, but it becomes a difficult game because then you're expecting Kaizer Chiefs to play well. You're expecting Kaizer Chiefs also, the fans are expecting Kaizer Chiefs to play well. The players also, they want to play
They
well.
They are third also, yeah. Let's not forget.
Yeah, they are third also, you know? Mm-hmm. And that just on its own, I think it's just an incentive for players to do well. The management will be hyped up. And those are games that you really, really, as a footballer, you want to play. I think for the first time in a long time, from a league perspective, you're seeing Kaizer Chiefs as an important fixture. Mm-hmm. Not just on the feeling of what the fans feels like. Yeah. I think from a title deciding factor, I think Kaizer Chiefs on both sides, for Orlando Pirates and for Sundown side. But I think it's gonna go all the way to possibly the last. I don't see it ending at the last day of the fixture. I don't see Pirates at Obet maybe being that a game that they really need to win the league. I don't see also.
You think it can be decided before?
I think it will be decided before that, because here's the thing for me is, it's always exciting and all that stuff. But what we have seen within the last three games of Orlando Pirates, they scored what? How many goals?
Ten goals.
Yeah. Right. They scored 10 goals against his Galaxy, and then last night against Arrows. And then they still have to go to all these other teams that need to fight for whatever the course may be, top eight, top four, whatever the case might be. But now the expectations, we need to score more, right, from Orlando Pirates' perspective. And I just want to remind the fans that regardless of how many goals you score, if Sundowns continue winning all the game, Pirates winning all the game, Pirates still, Sundowns still lose.
Not 11.
Right?
What was the score? Was it not five?
It was five.
Yeah, it was five six. And six.
Yeah,
11.
11.
Yeah, I just said that the demands now, because you've created this space where fans can actually brag about the fact that you guys can score so many goals.
Yeah.
So now a 1-0 win, it's going to be very difficult for people to accept.
Mm.
And it's going to be very tough. So because then the reason why I'm saying this, you have players that really, really wants to win this league for the team, but they haven't been there.
Yeah,
in this position yet. And then you have a Mamelodi Sundowns team that knows how to deal with stress and pressure. But also for you to be able to master the stress and pressure, you need to be in those type of spaces, you know, as often as possible. So I'm not disregarding what a lot of Pirates might do, but it's just that the favor, as things stand, for me personally, I think we favor Sundowns in so many ways than what, because they're not chasing a number, they're not chasing goals. They just have to win their games. That's it. So it's just simple as that. Just win your game. That's it.
Do we agree, Jens?
Now I'm also of the same opinion, but I think the league is far from over.
Yeah.
I think it's, for us, it's still too early for us to decide where the league is going. I think we should wait maybe until three games. Because
doesn't that feel good though? Because
no, it does. Because in a long time, we've never seen two teams going neck to neck, for the league title. And now that the league is coming to an end, I think every game builds more pressure. Mm-hmm. For every team,
when last did
you saw Sundowns yesterday taking out the trophy?
Yeah,
they're already saying it's mine games.
I saw the trophy, putting
up the trophy to say we are defending the trophy. So who they speaking to? Only they know. Maybe Tego can tell us who they actually.
They're speaking to the whole 50 teams.
The craziest thing was when I was doing the Betway Prem show, right? They brought the trophy to the show. I looked at the names there.
There's only one name, isn't there?
Brav. He'll say it's because I'm blind. It's fine. Yes, I'm blind. But to be quite honest, it was Mamelodi Sundowns all the way, right? And you kind of get to that sense that says to you, will there be a change? Is this the season where there'll be a change? But also, when you talk about the games that are remaining, both teams, the fixtures, yes, we're looking at the top. Deco is talking about Kaizer Chiefs right now. And in my head right now, I'm thinking about the teams that are fighting for their lives down there that both teams still have to face as well. Yes. You know, teams that are playing for positions. And I don't see those teams giving it up. That is not that they'll give it up. And with all due respect,
pulling off a 3-0 win.
Yeah.
Look at it.
And
who would have thought about it?
So I think there'll be those moments that they're questioning about where the next game could be crucial. Mm. Could be a game where one drops significantly and the other one wins, you know, significantly, sure. which they pull away. Or there'll be moments where if both teams might drop, you'll never know. But I don't know, man. I just have a feeling that something's going to happen, but it's going to take a whole lot for it to happen.
You know what? You know, maybe just to disagree a little bit on that is, you know, with football is like, there's moments maybe, not taking away anything away from you, but oh my, oh you, and so I'll speak to Fit. So you know, there's certain moments as a footballer once you are at a certain level of confidence, even in the walk on, it's just totally different. Like regardless of who you're playing, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And these are two teams that feels like that, Paris and Sundowns. They feel like, no, bring anyone, right? Mm-hmm. We Sundowns are probably saying we're used to this.
But Sana, doesn't that worry you?
No, but that's what I'm saying, Hore. When you are an infield player with a certain confidence, regardless of what they bring in front of you, you've got that confidence that you feel that you can.
Also momentum.
So now when you're going to face nothing, guys, there's nothing wrong speaking of all these other teams that are fighting for their lives. But in all essence, now you're asking them to do something that they haven't done in more than 20 games.
Let me pause you.
Wait, so, which is what?
To beat one of the top three.
We'll come back to that. I want to ask you guys something.
Don't believe in miracles.
You know that anything can happen on the car wash, right?
Yeah.
I want you guys just give me a name.
Starting again.
Who do you guys think our guest is today? We have a guest. For those of you watching, who do you guys think our guest is? Just give me a name. Any name that you think could be walking
is through the guest the he or she?
Yeah, I'll cut it down.
It is a he. It is a he.
Is he still playing or no?
Dan.
Dan playing.
We had a goalkeeper
last week.
Infield player.
Maybe
was an infield player.
Was an infield player.
Jabupule.
You say Jabupule.
Shavu.
We don't know.
Yeah, so Vilagazi.
Ah, Nkululeko, my brother.
Nkululeko, my... Oh, Junior Kanye.
Jaimpilo.
Okay. We'll have the guests coming through, but I can tell you guys that it is going to shock you. It's not someone
Is
who...
any of us right?
No.
Not yet.
We'll see. No,
this guy.
Not even no, close.
Or is it Benny?
No. No, no, no. Benny's okay. Not in the country, but we are looking to get Benny on here. So when he does come, we won't know about it, but it will be fantastic.
I mean,
it's someone. If let me ask you this: if you had to least expect someone to come to the car wash, who would it be?
Danny Jordan.
Danny.
Stop it.
Dr. Ivan Koza.
Okay, Danny Jordan. Dr. Ivan Koza.
Kaiser Tau.
Yeah, okay.
We can go on.
Yes. Yeah, no. Let's take away club owners.
That's or to, not a club to players.
Let's go somewhere maybe else. Not players.
I mean, he's
controversial.
Here.
I mean, he's here.
Yeah, no. This expected.
This is okay. But you said in.
Listen,
it's a pleasure.
It's
good.
Inside.
You look nice.
Thank you.
You
used to expect. I have to. Coach. I can meet Teko here. You have to.
Oh, you're
good. I'm good. I'm good.
Coach, I tried this.
What happened?
I tried this.
Oh, my God. The coach, what did you do?
Nah.
I tried
to reach top corner. You should have just said he was a coach. Now in his day, he was an infield player. Now we think of
even you would not get this if you would have said a coach is coming. You never would have.
Yeah, he wasn't. Thank you so much. Please.
But at least we would have shot side net. Yeah. The crowd would have.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Let him come out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, nobody wants you talk, Brian.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, your hands must be used.
No, but then we need to change this one to you because coach has got a mic already. Oh, yeah. So that one needs to go to Brian. Teko, please assist him.
Oh, this is okay.
This one is
okay.
Assist. On and off the field, eh?
Coach.
Hey, coach, you're so quiet. Your voice is low. For somebody who knows you on the touchline, it's not like this.
I remember when
I used to play for Roses United.
Yeah.
And you were a Bloom Celtic.
So yeah. I played a friendly against you guys then.
Yeah.
And I remember a teammate of mine got tackled, but he was looking for a foul. Yeah.
Like, you think your coach would be happy about you? Tackling on the field.
Coach is never focusing on his team. Like, hey,
you be happy about you. You're diving you on the field. It's better.
That was in a friendly match.
Bro, yeah. Friendly match.
It was always fun, man. Because there was one when we played at Pirates. Golden Arrows came, actually, played against us there. And I don't know what the referee... Remember John, the resident referee? John, the short one, man. There was this guy, I think he was Nigerian. So he kept on calling wrong, you know, decisions every time, wrong calls. And then coach said, no, let's go home. I don't think this guy is awake.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Wait, let me officially welcome.
Yeah,
coach.
Welcome in.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. You are our second ever guest. We understand that you have been watching the show. Maybe if you can give us your thoughts on what you've seen so far, what you feel about the show, We've never seen you on a podcast. We've seen you everywhere else. We've seen you on LinkedIn. We've seen you on shows, but never a podcast. Mm. Maybe what prompted you to be here? But welcome. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. First of all, I enjoyed getting the invitation. Not that I'm really following a podcast in and out and forward and backwards. But I started a little bit. It has a little bit to do with if you go to the American market and if you see a podcast gets run over CNN News and so on, there's a trend. There's something where we have to be awake about. No? it's absolutely, there's always space for improvement, I think, absolutely. But I think the numbers you get in terms of following this podcast is tremendous, and that tells you the story.
Yeah. So, Coach, just before you walked in, we actually spoke about the title race. We spoke about how in a very long time we haven't had a situation where, with 7 games to go, only 2 points separate Mamelodi Sundowns as the leaders and Orlando Pirates as the chasers. I think the last time we probably had this was...
It was him, a coach, as chaser.
Coach, and I think you lost it with a few seconds.
Yeah, against Barroca.
Minutes, not against Barroca.
Yeah.
They called, is it Lord...
Lord Kambala. Lord
Kambala. Kambala. Do you know Lord Kambala, Coach?
I forgot him. No, it was 2020, and that was a long time that Sundowns got competition inside the league, and we all can, in particular, if you love the soccer game, can be very, very happy that if we have a situation like now, where two teams really running the show, winning the title in the end of the day, and not like in the last, after 2020, it was... Now it was decided already because they had already 15 points in front of. I think actually it will be very interesting to see. On my side, if you ask me, don't do it. I say it now directly. It's again Sundowns.
It's Sundowns are going to win it again.
Yeah, because of the experience, man.
I was just about to ask you, what do they have, coach? What do you see in them that makes you say, and you're saying it with your chest, coach?
You know, even the, you have to win games like against Durban City yesterday away. They're in a very good run. You have to win it. You have to manage it, even if it's only 1-0. If you do that, then you're fine. You cannot play against Sivilele at home, a draw, and hope you will win the championship. Is not possible. I think it's a management, it's an option inside the squad. Probably only, in my opinion, one position where they are not really competitive. If something happened with Ronwin, they will be in a really disaster situation, is my opinion. National team probably the same. But the rest is gives you so much options, defending, system, formation, option really to react and to get an impact from the bench, even to get 4 or 5 players out. And if you have a team like this, a squad like this, it's very clear. And with Sundowns, meanwhile, it's normal. It's nothing new. Despite they talk a lot about Champions League, but being champion in South Africa is expected.
Yeah.
So, coach, I was asking actually Deco, because it's funny, you saying he said the same thing, you know, and obviously you're speaking from great experience, amount of experience. I asked him a question with regards to, obviously, having been in those kind of situations. Mm. You've been there, you know that. Then, as a coach, obviously, it's different from players, because I was worried about complacency, maybe someone being relaxed, thinking, ah, no, we've done this before, we've got this. How do you manage that? How do you deal with that so that you can, you know, make sure that you don't get to situations whereby we drop points, like you're speaking about Pirates dropping points against Suwelele, where people probably expected Pirates to win that game.
It's an example Sundowns lives and show us all the time. They are never happy with the team, even if they have 15 points in front of the second one. They improve the quality. They look for more competition. They make sure that they get players being better than what they had, even if them players sometimes, there are enough examples, they fall out of the 20, they fall out of the 24, they are not even traveling anymore. And that's a little bit the secret. That's what you have to do. And that's, for example, I'm always talking about if a team is doing in 1 year, fantastic, and then say, okay, no, we can repeat it, we can do it. The benchmark is higher, individual quality is higher, and then they start relaxing and the complacency and 5% less on each and every because I'm now a little bit cocky. Then you have a problem. You cannot repeat this. And this is what Sundowns do.
No,
they are really on top of it, what
actually
has to be done.
I actually like the first statement you made. When you said that you think Sundowns will go on to win the league, one, because of squad depth, and I agree with you. You know, after the international break, I think when they played Chipper, they had about five of their players, starters not in the
team.
So it means in terms of depth, they do have enough quality to come on and still win games. Yeah. And on the other side, yes, watched Pirates last night, and the moment they started making changes in the second half, then you could see a drop in the tempo and in the fluidity and how they
and
played.
And the funny thing is they brought on top players and it still dropped. Yes. They brought on Masangani, they brought
in... But can I interject on that? Not so, because I was doing that game. But one thing we need to understand as well is when you playing at home, you're winning, you're leading 3-0 first half.
Yeah.
You look at the type of football that Pirates is playing, high energy, high press, counter press. That's why Maremi becomes an important. Look at up front, nobody less speed is not play. Everybody with speed with and all speed, that type of play. Especially when you see Nantem Jela in the midfield with Mbati, you know they want to press high, right? So now you're scoring 3-0 early on. Come second half. Second half, naturally, players tend to lower the tempo down because we've got a game on Tuesday, you've got a game on Thursday or Friday. You want to lower the tempo down, you want to manage the game. So now it comes back to what coach is saying. Now you're making those changes, rightly, you're making those changes, the tempo drops. But even if the tempo drops, it was never arrows picking up, maybe to try and cause problems for Pirates. So what it means is, like, we knew that if Pirates scores 3 or 4, he has to make those type of changes because he must understand, for me personally, that's the best 11 that all the Pirates have. There's nobody else.
The
that
one
can,
that started.
Exactly. There's maybe possibly, because he does similar changes, Makopa, Maswangani, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right? So now, if you don't rest those type of players, so now compared to the depth in quality that he speaks about of Sundowns, it's totally different. So you need to manage it and in a way that it suits you. Orlando Pirates manage, my problem is, like, you could have taken out Rele. Could have taken out all the guys, the Apollo's legs. Take those guys out, because the problem is, like, the coach is saying, If Ronan gets injured at Sundowns, we don't know what might happen. We're not saying that the goalkeepers are bad.
You have solid.
You understand?
Solid.
We don't know what might happen, right? Yes, but I'm saying if you're a goalkeeper, you need momentum, you need games in your... And now there's a crucial game you need to play. From a Paris point of view, is like, I feel sorry for Coach Wadi, because what he has is what he has. It's not like he can change five players and still be able to win games.
They signed 13 players at the start of the season.
It comes to the mentality-wise. The mentality-wise is, you need to be... It's like coaches will tag our team owners as well, will come and tell us, guys, we need to have strong character. But you need to be in difficult situations for you to build that strong character.
Okay.
You can't just have it. For Paris players to have the winning mentality of the league, they have to know how it win, how it feels like to win. So now, instance, who at Orlando Pirates, whether on the bench, whether on the technical team, who has actually lifted the trophy, the league trophy?
But they've been winning cup trophies. I get the league trophy.
League is a marathon. Yes. That's what I'm saying. But now we this conversation is relating to the league. It's not the cups.
Yeah.
Relating to the league. I'm saying, when you know how to win the league, even in difficult situations, you go to Durban City, even if you win with an own goal, 1-0, you come back, because you know that those 3 points, once you accumulate come end of the season, they become important again, because there's games that you know that, hey, if I didn't win that Skukuni game there, I would have lost the league.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? So now, so I feel sorry for Coach Wade. That's what I'm saying. I feel sorry for Coach Wade. I know I'll get a lot of stick from a lot of Pirates fans, but I feel sorry for Coach Wade because what he has
is what he has.
Is what he has. And it showed against Golden Arrows. You're making those type of changes with quality players, but quality players as well, my friend. They need time. You have Van Rooyen that has been injured. Yeah, yeah. You understand what I mean? So now, are you as a coach, maybe I can pose this question to the coach. As a coach, now you've got 7 games to go. You're on the verge of winning the league. I'm sure that's the feeling that they have with Orlando Pirates.
Yeah.
Would you try new things by being on players that haven't been playing regularly? As starters?
There are different opinions in certain direction. You can think like this. That's for sure. But on the other side, let them go. Let them run. Let them move. They don't have an international business. They don't play Champions League. They don't play on the continent. And that's probably, if you want to talk about where could be a reason that they will be probably passing Sundowns, that's probably the involvement on the international business. It's always something difficult to really see how the player is really able X and to replace Y in attacking and defending or whatever. It looks like that they have not the depths like Sundowns has.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
I wanna flip the coin a bit, coach, and say that okay, we're speaking about about what's happening at the top of the league.
Yeah.
If you just look at the bottom, four teams, 6 points separating them. Chippa United, 13 position. Marumo Gallants, 14. Orbit College, 15. Magesi FC, 16. 7 games to go. This is prime Ernst Middendorp time. This is when the calls come through. I want to ask you before anything else, if that call had to come through from any of those four, say, Coach Ernst, come and save us, SOS.
No, that's too late. It's there is no chance in this direction to put something in. It would have been done. Magesi did it. I think how many coaches are Chipper in the moment? I think Kanu is a third one.
Yeah.
Already, what do you want to change all the time? I saw teams. I saw Orbit playing against the Chiefs on Monday in Port Elizabeth, where I'm just coming from. 30 minutes, good. They could keep it, but then really, really disappointing in terms of the pace, in terms of the conditioning aspects. They were totally overpowered, and after 35 minutes, the game for Orbit was done. I saw Chippa against Sivilele, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday evening. Mm-hmm. I left after 40 minutes.
You left?
What?
Why?
It's so enough. You saw enough.
I don't know. Actually, I predicted it will be a 0-0. It looks like nobody wants to hurt somebody. Everybody first makes sure not to concede. It was an atmosphere. If you have been a day before with this Orbit Chiefs game in terms of the support, the atmosphere, then you watch this, that was one reason. It was not really what put something in. You have to stay. You have to be there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I was aware about it. Bayern Munich playing Real Madrid at 9 o'clock too.
Yeah,
I must be honest. I want
game.
To see this kickoff too.
What was 900 million by
the Bayern Munich?
Yeah.
Bayern Munich, Real Madrid.
By the way, were you surprised to see a young coach like Vincent Kompany? Because there's something I want to go somewhere with regards to this.
Okay.
Coach, you've always been vocal about the standard of play,
right?
In South African football comparing to Europe.
Yeah.
And yesterday we saw a Vincent Kompany who went to Santiago, got a result. And this is a coach who got sacked by Burnley, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you compare, would you say that, yes, money plays a role in terms of structuring a club?
Mm-hmm. You know, here in South Africa, for example, we have too many coaches who talk about Europe, who talk about Bundesliga, talk about England, and they never have been there. They have probably been there with a finger on a card, on a map. Sorry, this is really something. It's unbelievable. If you have been in the Bundesliga, and I was in the Bundesliga for a couple of years, promoted teams from the third to the second to the first in a row, kept the Bundesliga team inside in a relegation battle 2007, 2008, again and again. This is something where I think actually it should be mentioned. Please be a bit more humble and know where you're coming from, what you have. And go now, for example, go through our coaching area. where are the license? I always talk about the expertise. Expertise is the license plus experience in terms of coaching. Back to company, and that's good. And that's what is not really done here. And I think we have a huge, huge space to get do it better in terms of recruiting player is one. But recruiting coaches, this is another part. And monitoring coaches, guiding coaches. Everybody thinks in this moment, I finish and then I'm immediately the coach and I know each and everything. Company was different. He had a huge experience. He starts organizing himself on the theoretical side. He starts managing himself. He starts in the second division. He was successful. He was in this moment really on a track to say, okay, I find out. And the next step is he understood, and that's very, very crucial. He understood, and in these days, if you are not, I hear some experienced coaches talking on the 1st of April, I thought it was a joke, but it was on the 1st of April on a seminar in Athlon Stadium and how unimportant certain analysis and so on, GPS monitoring, and it can only add something into it. I think Vincent's company understood that he needs experts around him. And the next point is he understood to listen to them, to listen to the conditioning side, to listen to the athletic side, to listen to the analyst side, and to listen goalkeeper side, and. And I think this is very, very crucial, what we see. Back to it, he doesn't play with money. Bayern Munich has the highest number of, if I'm not, please correct me, they have 8 players under 19 they promoted this year playing in the first team. It is the highest number inside the Bundesliga. So now, of course, there are world-class players. There's no doubt about it. I don't have to mention the names because 900 million have watched it. No, therefore, they know it. Good. And that's the next point. They recruit really not only the players, they recruit the coaching staff also. And this is definitely everybody contributes. And do you really think, you see sometimes on certain platforms, training exercises from Bayern Munich. Do you really think Vincent Kompany is doing it?
No.
Are you really sure about it?
No.
Definitely not. Yeah. He has his experts. His assistant one, assistant two, attacking, the Sonal coaching in defensive, in central, midfield, and in attacking. And we are so far away. When you really try to put it into the head of ownerships or chairmen here inside South Africa,
What's stopping them?
The willingness to understand what an expert say. Very often here, you bring experts' leadership into the club, and then you should listen to the expert. But very often, you want to tell the expert, the leader, what to do and how to do this.
And Roger,
please, Roger, this has to be changed.
Before it goes a bit far, because I see we're getting more into the technical side of the game. But I'd like to...
Is it poor?
Going back to Delmin's question, if these teams that are fighting relegation were to give you a call, and you said you'd obviously reject, would you reject because of the quality that they have, or do you reject because it takes time to implement the philosophy and put it across? And now looking at the 7 games that are remaining, so what comes into play? Do you reject because of that, or do you reject because of the other?
You have no time. You come in and the next day is a game. You have no time. You need at least 3, 4, 5 weeks really to put it in place and to change, to look what is available, what works together, what is connected, what has a good chemistry. In the end of the day, we work with individual quality, but individual quality is nothing if you're not being able to put it together and to make a collective team effort out of it. And in this moment, this is panic, this is hectic, this is just acting for God's sake of that somebody in public says or a stakeholder says, oh, we have done something. It doesn't make sense. It's really not possible to do it in this time, and therefore nobody should be interested.
Damien, can I ask the last one on this, because it just triggered me what Figo said. Coach, because also for me in my position, we always voiced about the quality of coaching. I've always enjoyed seeing coaches that improves players becoming better.
That's the main job.
That's what I mean. Regardless of what trophies you bring, now I've always loved coaches that actually makes players better. Okay. And we know that within the country itself, we have teams that really changes coach. Every season, you guarantee there's going to be that rotation of the same people coming back, going and coming back, and then the players are still remaining the same. Mm. There's teams also that possibly every other season, they're changing the coaches, but the players still remain the same. So I just want to find out from you, what would be the balance between the team changing those type of coaches or the players? Because there are times we speak about the quality that we have in the country. I don't think we have the quality that we think that we have, to be honest with you. I think we just, we excited. I don't think the quality is there enough for us to like, okay, I'm not talking from a national team side.
Sure.
Yeah. I look at the other teams as well. I'm like, okay, I understand the unfairness. Or like, okay, I understand why you've been beaten this much. I understand why you've been winning games because of the quality that you have. Mm-hmm. But also, I say to myself, Figo was never good to begin with in the beginning. Somebody made him good. Somebody put time into you to become good. So that becomes the coach's job. Mm. So now, I don't want you to say coaches are not doing their job, but I'm just saying, would you agree with me that we don't have coaches, enough coaches in South Africa to actually help the players to become better?
I will touch to what I said before. To really, and that's the main job of a head coach, really to make sure that each and everybody improves to have a better performance. The time factor is definitely something, but you need more support. In these days, you cannot make a player better on an individual. You have one coach, you have a goalkeeper coach, and you have a conditioning, something like this, and then you want to run the show, and then you want to, you have 30, 40 players. I went to watch Highbury in a test game on Saturday last week. I don't know how many players. They played 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, and enough other players come. There is no chance for you with a small coaching staff to improve a player. You need to have the coaching side first at all to increase the number of coaches, being busy with the team. Take 4 or 5 players less. Take instead of 40, take 35 or 32 and take 1 or 2 coaches in. In average, on the professional side, on the highest level where we are in Europe, really working is 5 players, 1 coach. That should be, and then you have a chance to really make it happen that you are improving the player individually. Mm. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
Coach, one of the most interesting things that I checked when I found out you were coming onto the show was your LinkedIn page. People think that you are a sharpshooter, yeah. If they haven't seen your LinkedIn, they should go and have a look. And I want to read some of the stuff that you posted that maybe stood out to me. And maybe if you can elaborate on it.
I'm totally disappointed.
So 2 months ago, you said Hugo Broos challenges South African players to export, or South Africa to export more players to the biggest leagues in order to get to the next level.
Yeah. Mm.
Then you respond and say the core truth is that football development is environmental, not geographical. Yeah. Mm. Europe is not the cause of improvement. It is just a place where standards are enforced daily, excuses are removed, and responsibility is unavoidable.
Yeah. Yeah.
If those same principles are applied consistently in South Africa, players will improve without leaving the country.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks to what you just asked. You see how we are in sync.
Yeah, finally balance.
Uh-huh. And when they do go abroad, they will succeed more often because the foundation was already strong.
Mm-hmm.
Improvement happens at home when the environment is right.
Yeah.
And then I want to read one more. I think this one
continue.
Got the whole country
I have time,
speaking.
Yeah.
It says, Kaizer Chiefs is a monster of a club.
Hmm.
Anyone who wants to coach this team must understand the magnitude of Natcharena.
Yeah.
The club carries enormous history and a massive supporter base across the country, constant media attention and permanent pressure of results. Every decision is discussed publicly. Every weakness is quickly and totally exposed.
Hmm.
To operate in such an environment, a coach needs real expertise, emotional resilience, strong leadership, and an unbeatable confidence.
Yes.
It goes on, but I'm going to leave it there. Say that You've been shooting the same way Teko's been shooting.
I would not say shooting. I think we have an interest, and I think probably when you love the game, we have an interest to get and to see improvement. Mm-hmm. In the moment, I really make it a little bit my personal doing to say, okay, Everybody thinks you can play Kaizer Chiefs. Everybody thinks you can play Pirates or Sundowns. Everybody thinks you can coach. And I'm not talking about the head coach only. Yeah. I'm also talking about the conditioning side, the analysts, the really the level of all the experts around, up to 10. Let's take it from their side. And this is so often, and I have seen a lot of players. I worked with a lot of players who are in the squad of who has been in the squad of Pirates or have been in the squad of Chiefs. And I could say no chance for these players. No chance. The mentality, they're not strong enough. The resilience is not good enough. They are not really able to. They think they're excited. They're so excited going into the Orlando Stadium and need 90 minutes to get it. And then the game is over. It's a mentality side. And this is where you have to really check also from the recruitment side. And there he comes to. You can have a Azanile Villabai, for example. You can sign him. Fantastic player. Everything good. Looks nice. Exciting. Entertaining. Everything is perfect. We can take Luke Wartman also. Also entertaining. Fantastic. Lovable guys. Superb. But playing Chiefs in the stage where they are, no chance.
Are you saying they still?
Yeah, I want to ask you. Are you saying that we have certain players within the big three? Let's say big five, because Lenda plays for Sekhukhune. Let's say the top five.
Don't say big five. Top five. Yes, please. Thank you.
In the last episode,
ever since they dropped this guy.
You know, big five, yeah.
Used to say top three. Top three.
Let's say top five.
Yeah.
Are you saying, coach, that we have players in the top five teams that aren't good enough to be there?
Yes.
That is true.
Simple, easy answer. That's definitely the case.
Is it a recruitment issue? Is it a lack of recruitment that these players end up there? Because there are some questionable signings.
What happened in these days? Please, let's be really honest. What happens in these days? You play a game. It was in former days, it was Makufu Cup in Bloemfontein. Makufu Cup in Bloemfontein. Just, and then you play a nice game. And then on the other side, whatever, there's somebody who do some tricks and who shines and whatever. The supporters want to get him signed. The supporters want to get him on Chiefs side. Other teams playing in the league, the same. But you cannot follow this way of a parameter of recruitment. It's not possible. You have to put into your fantastic playbook. I'm not sure if anybody has a playbook inside the league on the PSL side, probably Sundowns. You have to look into it. What do you have? And what do you have in this moment is very, very crucial, really, to say, okay, I need this player, I need that player, I need in certain position players who really can compete, and better players, not players. And players who are really in this direction prepared to get the pressure. And this is when I'm talking about Monster Club. They must know, if you play a Makufu Cup in Bloemfontein and you disappoint and you're not winning and you're not performing, you're under stress. You have to make 100% sure be there in the moment. And if you are thinking and every an action is gone and you couldn't pass or you couldn't assist proper, and then you think the next 10 minutes about it, then of course you're gone already. This is what I mean. And back to Bros, it's nice that he says it, and of course, a little bit egoistic, but it has to be done really inside the country here. And I will tell you how. We have PSL clubs that get, I don't know what's the amount of money every day through TV and whatever, every month they get. It's in other leagues too. Yeah. But for example, the PSL, if I compare it to the German Football League, the German Football League has a very clear standard. They said, okay, they go. And every team, if you want to play Bundesliga 1, you have to have a high performance youth center with this and this and this and this, with coaching, with license, with the infrastructure. And they come and they look into it. If you don't have it, you don't get the license. Second Bundesliga a little bit less, third Bundesliga a little bit less. So, and this is what you have to do here too. Put your environment into the right structure, put your direction into the right structure, and improve the players and develop the players, make them strong, and then they can be a better player in the national team, coach, and go to the European side if they want.
I think, coach, you with what you're saying and the standards that European football has set, totally agree with you. But what I also love to know is,
you don't have to.
Yes, but I'm saying, yet last night was 900 million people watching a European game.
Yes.
That means the standard is high. And that's why we get most of our players wanting to go abroad. And yeah, when our players are doing exceptionally well in the country, we all say, let him go. You know, I think we'd be speaking about Orele
Mofokeng,
right?
Yeah.
But what he's doing is everybody's saying, can we let him go abroad and, you know, continue to grow and explore as a player? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, coach, with all the standards that come from Germany, because I hear you reference Germany a lot, is what keeps you in the country when you know that the resources are not there? Teams in the country don't have that much to compete with the highest level of football. Because I've seen you coach teams like Maritzburg United.
Mm.
And no doubt, the technical team is not big. Mm. It is probably you and the assistant coach and maybe a goalkeeper
Maximum, right?
Mm. But you're still invested in the country. Is it the love of the culture of South African football? Or is it the love of developing and making players better? Or is it the love of wanting to win or wanting to get that victory? Because ideally, I would think that at Kaizer Chiefs, probably the resources are there. And you were so close to probably winning the league, right? And that never happened. And now, obviously, going back to the question, with the teams in the relegation zone, no, you wouldn't go there because you need, it's too late and this and that. But as coach Ernest Mirandor, what keeps you in the country? What gets you like, you understand? What is that thing that says, look, I know I'm from Germany. I know the standard is high. I can go there. But what keeps you in the country? Because
I have been in a second Bundesliga. I have been in the Bundesliga for years. I have been in the China Super League. I have been in other countries and other continents. And at a certain time, that was probably 2009, after I started in 1994 with my professional, before already 10 years semi-professional, 1994 till 2009, where I made a decision to say, okay, this is my main market. This is where I would like to implement myself with my doing. And I think that is what you do as a coach. It doesn't mean that, for example, you go in 2016 till 18 to Bangkok and improve a team there, which is now playing regularly on the Champions League side. At that time, it was not the case with True Bangkok United. But you have to have a certain home to develop at a certain time. And that is what I did in 2009 when I came back here, put myself into the direction, have my place in Joburg, have my place in other towns. When I have an idea to go there, to Port Elizabeth, for example, then I go and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, nice one. I mean, coach, actually, congratulations, because you spoke about Bangkok United. I think they beat Gamba from Japan now to qualify, no?
Yeah,
the Champions League. But we spoke about development, right? The importance of having the structures and everything. And I think most of the time we tend to shy away from addressing the elephant in the room, which is the technical director role within our country.
Hmm.
You know, and
do we even understand
which is the last role that coach was wearing, actually?
That's where I wanted to go, to say, do we really understand the clear role definitions? Because we talk about TD, we talk about sporting director, and then there's all these kind of roles that come in, co-coaching. We talk about, you know, first team coach. No, but there's a lot. So, you know, there's a lot where there's head coach, there's assistant coach, and then there's first team coach, all those roles.
Yeah.
If you were to break it down to us, because you occupied the technical director role at Durban City, I think two stints, short stints, and maybe that alone, and we know that in other teams as well, there were issues with regards to that, understanding that. Maybe if you can break it down to us with regards to understanding.
I had my first experience really in a very clear understanding of the technical director position was in Bangkok. I went there in 2016, my very clear understanding, and it was very clear defined to say, okay, it's identification in age of 12 to 15, 14. It's in the foundation. It's then in this moment, the performance side, and then of course the transition side into the first team, working together with what is the idea of Manu Pöking, the head coach in this moment, Brazilian guy from the first team. How can we put it down and how can we go in both directions, two-way, to find out a certain way. And there was really in this moment a total different, far away from the coaching. And when I got here to Durban City in the beginning of the season, July, August, it was very clear. It was about, or September also, it was about the recruitment. Very interesting to see in the moment. Therefore, I saw Orbit yesterday. They also promoted now. And I saw Durban City promoted with a new team. And that was very, very crucial to say, okay, the recruitment, the identification, what do we have? What must be done in this direction? Of course, the coach at a certain time involved, but only at a certain time. Mm. That's very, very crucial because, and I think actually everybody understands, agents, agencies, good friends, connected to coaches who have been a long time. I can tell you, you get fantastic offers in this moment. You have to take my players. You are my friend. You have to do this and so on. I can give even example if I want, but I don't want. Also Durban City beginning of the season would be probably a certain different team, not that what is what was assembled at that time. We discussed it. We had definitely very clear identification issues. What should be done? Or which one can we get? What is healthy for having finally a collective team? And that's very, very crucial. Stay out. And I made it very clear as a technical director, stay out of a dressing room. Stay out of match day. Just watch it. Next day, match day plus one, you come in, you listen to this, you have your own opinion. You really in this moment share your ideas, you share your overview. But the main is always in this moment to really provide a framework regarding conditioning, regarding other. Look into the key performance indicators. You have to put that there. And it's not only about the numbers. It's not only about expected goals or whatever. It's more than less how players develop. How players are really in this moment show, it doesn't matter how long they are, how they really show and be valuable in this direction. Sorry to talk about these are human beings, I know. But in the end, the club is paying money and the club wants the success. And this is the job of the technical director, not to decide, but to put the issue on the table, and to really say, okay, guys, we have to discuss it. Take the player involved, take the coaches involved, take this as an opinion, this is what we see. And if it comes to contract discussions, it has to be really sorted in a way to put everything on the table and not in this moment you want to stay out because you want to keep your friend.
Do you think we call bullshit in South Africa where... We know that when a technical director is hired, it is usually the replacement for when the coach goes. Because it's usually a guy with coaching experience that if the coach underperforms, we don't have to look outside. He's already been here.
It's true.
Yeah, but it's part of the contract. It's part of this one. And that's probably the being not serious with this job, of being the technical director or whatever you want to call it in this direction. You have to have very clear, and I said it with the beginning, you can read it probably on LinkedIn also. I said it very, very clear. It is the job never will be to take over from a coach, whoever is the coach in this direction. And I had it twice. I made it very clear. That will not happen. That will never happen in this case. If I'm taking the position as a technical director with a club, I'm the technical director and I have a very clear opinion and I have shown it a couple of times in different clubs, really to make sure what is the team about, in which way we can handle it. And you need the authority. You need the authority to decide. You need the authority in the end to have probably if it is balanced and we can't come to a conclusion, it must be probably you with the biggest argument in the room.
Sure. I guess also like for me also, I would say it's pointless for certain teams to have a technical director who don't have direction or who don't have enough an identity as to how you play. And also, if you don't have your development structure proper, because then you want to also inject those type of players into the first team. Mm. If you're a team that always, you know, 5-12, you know, come June, come January, you sign 13, 14. There's no need for you to have a team because clearly you don't have an idea as to where you're going. Some teams are just doing things because they're in fashion. Some people are just doing it because they see the neighbors are doing it. So for me, it's always been that case. As to then, I've always echoed the fact that if you have to bring in somebody, whether from a coaching point of view, whether from a player's point of view, you might bring something that we don't have, something to improve us. Mm-hmm. If you're bringing a player, if you're bringing Figo from wherever the country is coming from, and we have writing that is way better, or even maybe the same standard. What are you bringing here? You know what I mean? And also, like, we need to, right now, maybe in the last 5 years, we've seen players that have really come through DDC to come to the first team that are really, really blossoming, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where also maybe we can really inject money, inject talent. So then maybe that's where the core foundation should be. But then the coach is there, then it comes to back what the coach is saying. The coach is there, then you need to be able to align with the first team coach, the identity of the club, what is playing. Because then if I'm promoting you, my guy, next week we're playing what, you can't tell me that, you know, the philosophy is different from a DDC to the first team. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so those type of things needs to be proper, because those are the structure that coach is talking about. So I strongly believe that that's why there's such a huge gap, that it's so difficult to close. Every season you see the same gaps. And you look at the teams that are really struggling every season. What is it that they're doing differently? They're doing the same thing over and over again. You know what I mean?
It's a repetition.
Yeah, better the same thing over again. You know, Coach, I said something. I hope I'm not going to get in trouble again for this.
No, say it. You always get in trouble.
No. I said a couple of years ago, I was at an event, but it was not a football event. So some of the journalists end up speaking about football. And then they asked a question about Durban teams at the time, before Durban City was promoted, I think, two, three seasons ago. They asked me seriously then, what is it that Durban's team should do for them to start fighting for honours instead of relegation? And without thinking in depth, the student, what I said, because I'm having a good time. And
the graves.
And I was having this. Right? So I said to the guys, I said, when Durban teams were stronger in the past, they had the core of the team were Durban players.
Yeah.
They're from the same neighborhood because they're playing for the bad. They play for the team differently than the person that comes through. I said, Durban teams at that time, they were so reliant on Joburg players, the fringe players from Joburg to come there and to come and help. I said, you can't bring somebody that hasn't been playing for two or three seasons in Joburg to come here to help you fight relegation.
Yeah.
You ask him to do something that you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And also look at the age bracket that you bring in. Yeah. You bring a 33, 34, 35. It's not working, right?
Yeah.
I said that and then I forgot about it. Yo, I got a stick about it last season, right? I'm not going to name the team, but I got a stick about it for last season. But also from that, it was, he said himself, I think in one of the interviews, he said the first time he heard about it, he didn't like it, maybe the way that I projected it, but he understood where I come from. Mm. And for me, it always comes back to this thing, what I'm trying to say is like, we have our best players ever to grace.
He was listening even to you. He changed it. It was the beginning of the season.
He brought the technical director, didn't he? After that, like a sporting director.
Yeah, but could he take him out now?
So I would say, you know, the best players to ever grace a football pitch in this country, they all come from some sort of a development place, whether from school tournaments, but whatever the case it might be, right? And they went through those structures. Yes, the lucky ones, some of the most talented ones are doctors from grassroots straight to the PSL. Those are very rare ones. But the problem, the thing is, like, we're crying about development, you're crying about this, you're crying about this. But then the players can never improve if Ubra Temba is coaching, Ubra Sipho, Ubra Mandla. You know what I mean?
Well.
Yeah, because Ubra Mandla is okay from a Kasi tournament. I'm not bashing those guys, but I'm saying if we want to see the next Rele, we want to see the next Pesitao that really played in the DDC. I'm talking about players that really played in the DDC that went on to become excel.
Sure. Yeah.
We need as much as we want to emphasize on the coaching level and the coaching badges in the first team. Mm-hmm. We also need to do that at the DDC level. You understand? We also need to do that in the PSL as well. Sure. And as an assistant coach, you need to have the badges as well, because we normally know that when the coach is getting fired, interim coach needs to have this type of documents.
Sometimes I think if we always put, you know, I think badges competing international, but some coaches have badges, but they don't show on the field.
Then it comes back to recruitment.
And it also goes with, especially us in the country. I've always heard of this say, which says, a prophet is never appreciated in the home country.
Yeah,
or in their hometown, like where you come from, people don't appreciate you. If you look at how many coaches we've exported as a country, if we want our football to grow, we need to keep the coaches, because that's where it starts.
Yeah,
who develops the coach, the players? Who improves the players? Yeah. It's the coaches. Mm. But right now we've got Steve Barker out of the country. We have a Kurulani. We have a Fatlu Davids.
Ramorobeiro as well.
You understand? We've got so many of our own coaches that can help develop, because at the end of the day, it needs to go to the international, which is Bafana.
Yeah.
It should not only end at club level.
Yeah.
But us, with our local coaches, like they, I feel, my side, they are like I never appreciated. Yeah. Obviously, we don't know maybe the nitty gritty is behind the scenes as to what happens.
Yeah.
But if you look at it, I'd make an example, Coach Bangoba, when I was at Sundance.
Yeah.
I think few games, they said,
He must go.
And there was no grace, you know, just like give it to him.
And he wasn't even losing. He just wasn't playing good football.
But you see, Donna was talking about synergies, right, in terms of development. And I think also we're going to bring in Coach, because I'm glad that you're talking about the DDC, the development. And then when you have to integrate the player to the first team, he's going to a different environment where everything looks foreign to him to say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't do this and that. There's one particular team, actually, I was shocked and impressed at the same time to see it happening, even though maybe personnel people can question that. But with Golden Arrows recently, what I've seen is that there's Coach Manova up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you look at below him, well, his assistant is Musa Bilankulu, who played under him.
In KG,
below, it's KG, right? And then they took Figizolo to SAB, right? And from what I picked up when I followed, like, obviously, even when I'm doing DDC, when I watch those games, all these players now, they're playing the similar way that Coach Manova wants. Hence, it becomes a bit easier for your Casas when they get to the first team, you know, to have that same methodology of football that is required by the head coach. Maybe that's where we should start. And Coach, maybe you can help us on that
one. We had a short chat recently now, the last 2-3 days with the chairman from Durban City. And I said, now is the time. You are in a really fantastic situation. You're in the final,
the second best title
you can achieve. And now the companies, they will give you support. And now is the time. You're in a DDC, there are good players, individual fantastic players. They're all very young. 18, 19, that was ambition, the time, the age frame, what we put in beginning. But you stop very often, the club stop very often with the DDC. Where's the under 19? Where's the under 17? Where's the under 15? And I said to him, to Farouk Kadolia, with the now having in a fantastic position, put investment in, put really and try to get now the chance really from the DDC to the under 19, to the under 17, to under 15. Now the players are coming. Now you are attractive for both, for the players and for probably stakeholders who will support it. And again, don't take just somebody from a corner and say, okay, you take the under 19, you take the under 17. Yeah. This is now the most important stuff. Now really look into it. Where is the alignment and where is the quality in this direction? And this is our biggest problem here, that we have good coaches, qualified coaches, no doubt about it. But the preparation, identification from 12 to 18 to 19, before they come into the DDC or into the professional side, sorry, there is nothing.
Do we have enough tournaments?
We have only tournaments. Where is really the league? The league, DDC league we have. Where is the under 19? Where is the under 17 competition? Where is the under 15 competition? And you can train with them, and you need the quality in terms of the players, and you need the quality in terms of the coaches and the experts. Yeah. And then back to Ugo Boots, to the environment. If you think you want to send somebody there, they can make it. There's no doubt about it. I had this, I'll give you an example. I had this example with Siabonga Nkosi. I brought him to the Bundesliga just to give it. Fantastic. Fantastic. He was fantastic. He came into it. Preseason was fantastic in this direction. Played first, starting 11, all good. Yeah. So, and of course, when the mentality comes, the resilience comes. Then there were some players, Jörg Böhme, national team player, he was injured in the preseason and so on. And Siabonga took his position. What do you think what happened in training? Holy good.
They were kicking.
Of course.
We talk about, we talk about on this level, if you play on Saturday, €10,000 net, you don't have to win, you don't have to lose, you don't play even probably a draw, but from the putting your foot onto the field, you're in the starting 11.
Yes.
And you know, of course, I told him a couple of times, I said, you have to help yourself. I can't help you. You have to help yourself, continue, and then we will see. And this is not, players are not used to it.
Yeah.
not used to it. And if I show to somebody in this direction, what you said in the beginning, there is a reason for it, to make him strong, to see how is the feedback, how is he coming back.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we very often forget about in the recruitment and in the identification. We identify, we give him normal feedback, but the coping management, the coping structure of a player, how is he reacting? What is he doing? Are we looking at it? No, we don't.
Can I jump on that?
Before Mfanagit, I just want to also touch on what Figos spoke about, that we normally don't appreciate our own in terms of the coaches. And you named all those coaches. And if you have to find one thing common about them, they have a structure, they've got a way of playing in South Africa. Those who like fighting, I agree, people don't want to tuck in and look nice.
Yes.
Teams that like fighting, they don't have an identity, number one. Yeah. They normally call coaches that they can easily dispose, they can easily control.
Yeah.
And that's what they do every time. And then because also those teams that don't have ambitions, that's why you find them doing the same things. That's why we're seeing those coaches going out and coaching your Simba, big teams in Tanzania, big teams in Yorulani, big teams in the different countries.
Yeah.
As much as we don't appreciate them, it's because, I'm not talking about all of them, right? Maybe Yorulani was an opportunity bigger than maybe what Sundowns was. But Bofadle, Boban, those are type of coaches that really, really have a standard of play, have principles. And in South Africa, we don't like coaches that have principles, that have an opinion, or that have a strong character.
Yeah.
So now even if you play footballer, we don't like those type of players that have a personality, right? Mm-hmm. Because we want this nonsense thing of, stay humble. What is humble? You know what I mean? Like, what is that? Because for me, I always say, like, because now we're working in production, I'm like, Figo lost the game as a coach. Yeah. Can you please come be honest? You know what I mean? Sometimes I know it's difficult because sometimes you want to call players out, but you can't. Yeah. You understand that? Yeah. But it's just that you listen to all this type of coaching. Now, in my mind, come end of the season, I'm like, I'm not surprised to see you where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at times, I'll maybe let me personalize this. At times, it's like, as a player that has played for so long, you get to a point where there's nothing new that you see on training. When you go into games, you see a system, video sessions, it's the same thing, right? Yeah. So now you're trying to figure out, how can now my mentality, because now let's say you're 32, now how can then my mind in there being, you know, open this layer to get into the next layer, to get excited to come to training, you know, start doing new things. And those are only, there's very few of those type of coaches that can actually do that.
Have you ever felt like...
You know what I mean? And those few coaches in Mfana, they never really get an opportunity to be able to grow and become the coach that they should be. Because at the end of the day, it comes back to what the coaches say. I'm going to imagine you sign Nile Mina, Saya Vaya, Omgan Wako. So, no, Figo must play. Okay, but I'm the person that deals with Figo from Monday to Friday, games on Saturday. Yeah. I see the stuff that he's doing on training.
It was very interesting, you know what I mean? Very interesting to see, it was only a short time, but very interesting to see Temba Badela when he came in this direction. And we have not too many in Durban City in January. But it's exactly what you just touched. A team needs in certain moments another voice. It starts there already, another voice where you said, okay, you take the training today.
Yeah.
You know exactly what we do, or the conditioning side, or assistant one, or in terms of the goalkeeper, you give a group there. Just a different voice, just a different, and not just really, you know already what's coming on Monday, what's on Tuesday, what's on Thursday, what's on Friday.
Yeah,
yeah, you start sleeping.
Yeah,
and then you listen to a silent voice all the time.
Yeah.
You start sleeping, you think, what the hell, what must I do in this direction?
Yeah.
So. There is no. It's a very interesting story in the moment. Watch it. Nagelsmann was one of the top strikers from VfB Stuttgart. Undav.
Yeah.
He said he's not good enough. What are you? You score in the national team. No. What you sit on the bench. There is something behind. 100%. You can tell me whatever you want. This guy is very confident, but he has really, you have to motivate him. You have to inspire him. You have to get him, to provoke him, to get really to his top level.
We forget about those things.
Yeah. So I wanna string it all together because we're saying so many good things.
Is it that time or about to wrap?
No. We're not about to wrap, but I want to wrap this so that we can.
Are this grapes only for Tico?
No. No.
Okay, sorry, take one. That's two. I take two.
Okay. Yeah.
Last week it wasn't Jago's
food. Oh, yeah.
I think it
wasn't yet. But they provide them a lot of sugar. That's what I meant.
There's biltong as well, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, I want to come back to something that when one Googles your name, the name Skara Ngobese always comes up, but I don't want to make it about Skara because you've addressed it. I want to ask you, we speak about special players. You spoke about Riley and us now saying that he needs to go is proven. You have you saying that you were a big personality. You are Teko Modise. You are in the dressing room. How difficult is it, coach, to then manage that crowd favorite? Because you speak about the player doing the thing at Makufe when the fans want him.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to manage that, especially when that player is not carrying out your game plan?
Yeah.
Because you, as a coach, have a game plan. Yeah. And
that clear player, instructions. And all
that player needs to follow it.
Uh-huh.
That is that, just give it some thought, coach. And then in what you were saying that you now get to 32 where you training sessions are boring, you know what to expect, etc. Did you ever find yourself in a position where you felt like you have a bit more power than the coach, where you can say, today, let's do something else where you can
make.
So chew on that, and then I'll start with the coach. And
okay,
then,
let me chew.
Chew on your grapes.
Let's go to a situation, and I will explain it going a little bit back. In 2005 or 2004-05 season, Kaiser Chiefs won the league.
Yes.
With good performance contribution from different players, also from Skara, no doubt about it. Everything was fine. And they had a scorer, Bissouma, I don't know, in all competition. He scored 40 goals.
Yeah. Mm.
He then, in this moment, was sold to Portsmouth for, I don't know, some dollars or some pounds or whatever in terms of. So, Bissouma was not replaced.
Okay.
Now, you need probably to find a solution in the collective to say, okay, now you come in new and you see a player, you know, that there is a goalpost there. Football is about scoring. There is a purpose. So, and at that time, he did it a year before, Skara also. And it was fantastic. It was entertaining. But at that time, Bissouma had already scored 2-3 goals. When it's fantastic and everybody loves it. The coach isn't loves it. Fantastic. You clap and what a player. In this direction. So, but now Bissouma is not there anymore. You don't get 40 goals anymore in this direction. So that means actually it's not the finishing. It's now the setup, the pattern where you think, okay, the combination to break the line, the midfield line, the last line, to give the players the chance to do. And there was no Bissouma. There was nothing. But you had this type of entertainment inside. And then I'm asking myself, it's definitely something where you said, okay, if you want to win games, You have to score. You have to find a way. You have to go use your quality, use your individual brilliance in going forward, in dribbling, in breaking lines, and whatever we spoke about, we trained it, we worked on it a lot of time. It's very difficult for a coach with in this moment because nobody saw it like I explained it now. Very, very difficult. And if you don't have really the options back to Sundowns with a squad, and now everybody is not in a situation as a team to give you the results, and you play without this player, you are in a deep hole, and you need an unbelievable level of resilience, and you need an unbelievable level of confidence to go through it and to stick to what are you seeing, what are you in this moment want to see, and instruction are not followed. And in these days even, and today, if you have a player who just want to do something on the field, no chance.
Because I was about to ask you, coach, that have you, I know Teko is still chewing on that one, but have you, when you touch on that moment, especially the Skara moment, because it's the famous one.
Yeah.
Have you been in a position where you had to put yourself aside and what you believe in, your principles for a player? There are moments where a coach says, you know what? It's me or nothing, or the highway or the
gladiators. No.
Yeah.
That's you try. And he had a lot of moments where he played. It's not like that he didn't fit up. He played. He got game time. He got a lot of opportunities in different positions, inverted and so on, I remember. And good, you try.
You know why I ask you that, coach?
Yeah, ask me. Because again,
there's a particular one player, Sarufkin prospect, JB Ngobeni. I don't know if you remember that player.
More than you believe.
should we allow Teko and then we'll come back to that situation? Maybe.
No, I don't have to chew on him.
Is it?
Yeah.
So with,
excellent player.
Yeah.
Excellent player. Fantastic player. Dribbling really in this moment, you would love him if he does it in the right proper way. But if you can, a game is not the cup games.
Yeah.
Normal game last
90 minutes plus.
Plus.
Yeah. Game ball in play.
Maybe less than 40 minutes, yeah. 45, 42.
In, no, 51 50. Probably here in a NFD, I would say 39.
Mm-hmm.
So if a player cannot consistently do what he should do, what he can do, what he's supposed to do, he can do it only for a certain percentage of a game. Yeah. You want to play the rest every time 10 against 11? And that was JB's issue, JB's problem. Got a little bit better, a little bit more understanding later when he was a little bit more controlled. But at a certain time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, that was it.
Interesting.
Chew. When you're done chewing, Rafael?
Yeah. Oh. For me, I thank God I felt I was at that stage where anything that the coach was saying was just coming in and going out on the other side, because I knew exactly what he's going to do, what he's going to say, how he's going to react in certain moments. And it makes things tough, man, because I've never been a vocal player to coaches, whether I'm playing or not. I'll never ask the coach why I'm not playing, because I don't ask you why am I playing. Yeah. So I've never been that type of a player, but I would speak to the players. Because of maybe you're at a certain stage of a career where you're more experienced.
And they want to listen to you.
Yeah. But my speaking to the players, it's not against what the coach is saying.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because at the time, like I said, like at there's a certain stage in my life where I was really focusing on tactics. Like tactics were my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand tactics. I understand also like what the requirements are, especially from a South African point of view, as to then what other teams are playing, what is it that you need to do. But also maybe let's say me and Figo are playing in the same position. Let's say we're playing Chiefs.
Mm.
At that time, I'll say, listen, Figo, Shaba, he's only good when he does this. So force him to do this so that you can win that type of battle. Yeah, is good when it comes with 1-2s. Don't, if you're too late to mark him, mark the second ball. You know what I mean? Katsanda is very good when coming behind. When you're facing him, he's not going to kick you. Those type of things, like, I now started understanding the individuals.
Mm.
But when Coach Lani came through within that space as well, he started introducing small things gradually, because he was young and we had so many senior players, right? And I can just imagine the intimidation. But it comes back to what the coach is saying. Like, he was a strong, mentally, Lani is very strong.
Mm.
He was never intimidating in that way. But we started introducing smaller things. I remember when Sanna started counter-pressing. There's a lot of things in football that are just now being named, but we used to do them, but we didn't understand the importance of doing them.
Or the term, right? Yeah.
But when he started introducing counter-pressing, and I remember, like, I think he went to Liverpool. He spent some time with Jurgen Klopp and then watching Liverpool and all that stuff. So he came back with the training session that Liverpool were doing. Hey, man, brother, the training sessions were like so difficult.
Gang pressing or something.
It was very difficult, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember calling him aside. The first training session that he implemented, I remember calling him aside. We couldn't get it right. And I could hear the chaps, because there's a lot of senior guys, chaps mm-hmm. on the side. This thing is boring. This is kids.
Yeah.
I started calling him aside. I said, Coach, maybe if you can explain, can we please do this again maybe tomorrow? But explain it in the lamest term.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain it a little bit better. Yeah. And then you tell us again, because there's certain players that want to do something knowing what's the cause, what's the reason behind it.
Yeah.
And once he started doing that, dude, you'll see that in the game. You see that happening. And those ones who are pulling back from doing that at training, you can't play. Because I can do better. I don't have to have Figo's talent or Figo's engine, but I can anticipate.
The ability to carry out an instruction.
Yeah. So thank God for that space, because I never got into a space where I can say at halftime what the coach is saying, like, Coach, can I say something? Maybe this and this. I never got to that position, thank God. But because Rolani came through and started introducing new things, that it really ignited me in my thinking processes. And also, like, because football is about details. Like, you'll see a corner kick. It's a simple corner kick. As you think, guys, let's do corner kick this way. And then you started seeing results. You want for more. So we started pushing him, like, hey, in fact, we used to joke about, yeah, give us more, give us those YouTube things, more. We wanted more free kicks, wanted to do it more. But because you get into a space where you're getting excited, because sometimes hearing the same voice, is irritating, bro. Mm-hmm. Because from 8 to 4, every single day, or 8 to 10, 11, it's the same voice, and you know the same instruction. And once you get to maybe listen to somebody else, and I always say to the players, what we were taught is, like, we were taught to be the best teammate that you can be.
Yeah.
Right. And then being the best teammate is also allowing yourself to be coachable, allowing yourself to evolve. At the times we find ourselves restricting and evolving because we believe in, I need to be entertained. Yeah. The crowd are here to watch me play. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we fail to evolve. And at times we've seen why the greats are the greats, because they evolve with the game. You understand what I mean? So it comes to that issue. Then sometimes it's not because the player doesn't want to evolve, but you look at what the problem is, the surrounding. Mm-hmm. So after training, I'm chilling with Figo. Figo's telling me,
yeah,
that, dude, ever since you became a professional footballer,
you've changed.
It was this. So now, you've been loyal to your cult. You've been loyal to nonsense. Because come end of the day, is you are fighting so hard to become a professional footballer. Once you become a professional footballer, you need expertise. You need the experts to actually teach you a student how then. Yeah. They're not teaching you how to play football, but they're teaching you how to play the right way.
The game long.
You understand what I mean? So that's why we sometimes we'll sit here and be like, but Ubanban can do better. Ubanban, why is not Banban play? It comes back to what the coaches say, that as a coach, you have to be so resilient in the fact that as much as this one is a favorite player, but you see every week, every day, so that this player is not putting in the things that I need to put, because I'm playing with 10, 11 every single time when he's on the pitch. I'd rather lose the game. I'd rather lose the game with him on the bench than lose with him on the pitch, because I know that it's going to be worse. You understand what I mean? Yeah. So you tend to have that short winter blanket.
Did you also ever experience that player power, coach, in your dressing room where there's a voice, there's an influence?
They were my most beloved players.
Your most beloved players.
Yes. I will tell you why. We talk about a game model. We talk, what is a band? Game model is a principle in terms of, you want verticality, you want from line to line, you don't want to skip the midfield line, and so on. We can talk and put some stuff together. But you, in the end, you give only principles as a coach. Football in general is a chaos game. We can talk whatever we want. You don't know how your player on the left side has slept last night. How is he good? Does he have stress with his children or with his number of girlfriends or whatever? You never know. It's just something where I think actually you have to see it. You don't know. You plan, you give principles.
Yeah.
But the principles in this direction are there for the players to really handle it. And we talk so much in these days about, and that's absolutely right. And therefore this extra players with a personality being there, they make decisions. They make decisions, and then in this moment, probably certain principles are getting taken off, are getting into a different direction because the game is asking for it. And for this, you need this player. I will tell you one player at Durban City in the moment, and I told him, I called him after I left over there. I said, listen, if you stop playing, you have to go and be a coach in future. That's Thabo Nodada. It's an unbelievable, not even playing regularly, but how is he exactly in this direction, challenging, is there, is with the players, gives them direction, coming in on the field. And this type of players are really challenging, not only you as a coach, challenging the teammates, the team in total. And this is what you need. If you don't have nothing in this direction, what really you can rely on during the game when it doesn't work, and players sometimes have to change and have to go their own way. It has to. That's what good teams are doing.
Yeah. Good. Let me tell you, that's why there's a lot of good players in South Africa. Few greats. Because there's a lot of good players. There's very few great players. Because those moments that coach speaks about, that's what defines you being good or being great. Because you need to take those type of risks. Like I've always, we spoke about it. Like, you can't be a number 10 without taking risks. Mm-hmm. What's the point of being a number 10 without trying to play those, you know, those passes in between?
They need to be... Look bad,
don't tell me, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm scared that my ball might be intercepted there trying to play a striker on, then I'm not a number 10. Then I must go deal with the other players that I need to defend. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the certain moments and the certain players that really are able to find solutions on the pitch. And as coaches, you're relying on the certain players to be, okay, I can't be shouting every every direct, every action. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty remote, you know.
Especially if so you need in your place to come like through. Like a derby, I can imagine, coach, if you won't be able to shout at a player that's on that side, but there's a player on the field.
And anyway, you know, we always said, maybe coach can attest to it. We always say that I've never liked coaches that are really shouting every movement. Like, I feel like, okay, my guy, you had a week to do all these things at training. Now it's game time. You need to allow players to implement. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
What you were
doing. Yeah, but certain players also, they always need a whip behind them, because then you forgot that you need to switch, you need to do this, you need to do that, of course. But sometimes I'm saying, especially the creative players, let them be creative, because then how then can they expand their creativity by being restricted and conformed into this type of play? So remember, I can come back to that. Remember we said something about Rayleigh was never a winger. But at the time when we're saying that, people felt we don't like the ball. We said, no, he was never a winger because he doesn't have characteristics of being a winger. Yeah. Unless you're playing in a team that really allows him to be inverted. And then you have strong full backs that will be able to defend those 2v1s. Yeah. But we don't have too many teams that are overloaded on the side. Yeah. So then you can get away with it. But look at the numbers now when he's a 10. And compare his numbers then as a winger. Then you tell me then that we're wrong. Because you're watching football on a laptop, but and the laptop that sometimes it dies. No, I'm not talking about you guys.
Tell them they.
No.
Camera. Look at your camera.
Every time you look
at your camera,
But you know what I'm saying? No, but that's the thing. It's because the reason why I'm saying that it's I love creative players. I love players that can find solutions.
I think there's one.
I love those type.
One addition, and in particular, also back to LinkedIn. There's a generation set. When I came back into 2018, it was very interesting to see they have a certain social media attracted on a phone, can communicate and so on. Yes. Now you have the generation Alpha after 2010 born. These are different players. These are different human beings. These are different, for example, 20 years ago, you had players, they look at you as a coach. And now, can you imagine? You don't give them anything. Mm-mm. You don't talk to them. Yes, okay, that's how we are doing it today. And they look at you. In these days, for example, and I had the meetings already some years ago. Meetings, technical team, 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock kickoff. Nice setup, everything in a room. TV was running, board was running. Any questions? Everybody looked. I said, okay, let's go.
That's it.
Yeah.
So more advanced. Just need guidance. So what you say.
Sometimes I have done it because what is it? On very often on a team talk, it's very often a summary of what you did during the week. When you have the feeling during the week, you have really implemented enough, said enough, discussed enough, talked enough, and you see the players are feeling comfortable with it. Now you want to chew it again into the ears for the 45 minutes. No, just this is also sometimes 2 minutes. And I had these meetings.
We've had that as well.
Overcoaching. Under 7 and under 9, you're stopping a session under 7 and under 9, everyone is just being overcoached. Hey, move like this and all of that.
Half time, before the game,
almost done.
It feels
give me that one question.
Before we
close,
I want to, because we are running out of time and obviously we have to wrap it up and take it home. Coach, it feels like this conversation can go on for hours. Maybe just before you ask your question, something for all of you to chew on, and that will be what we'll close with, is maybe if you can just think of you guys, the three of you as players, think of a coach who made you better, and then you'll tell us why. Because we're speaking about coaches who have the ability to improve players. And maybe, coach, you will take us home with the one player that you feel you've improved that has really gone on to make a mark that I found them here.
Oh no, that's unfair. That's unfair. I can tell you here in South Africa, around 100 who got through me into the PSL, into the professional business.
Mm. Think of two, and then Brighton can shoot,
I don't. I don't think actually. Like my question, I don't think it's worthy of being asked now anymore. After the conversation that we had, I think I think, coach, thank you so much, because the amount of wisdom that you gave us, I used to look at you differently And I say
sorry for you.
No, no, no. So you guys didn't even ask me.
Don't blame him. Don't blame him, coach. You know? He doesn't see.
Yeah, but you know, I used to think coach is very arrogant, who's very strict, who wants it his own way and whatnot. But now getting to sit down with you and understand, you know, your psyche and understand your principle, a bit of it. Obviously, I might not know all of it. And the ways you used to do things. I can say that a lot of players are very lucky to have you as a coach. And a lot of teams are very fortunate, you know, and you can tell with the talent that also you also produced. Yeah, so I don't think I should ask that question anymore, because remember the first question, he was bold to say Sundowns is going to win it. Yes. But I wanted to go there. I think you guys know where I want to go, but I don't think it's...
Yeah,
okay,
I think for the sake
don't go there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe if you can just to
yeah, and I think for your question with me is I think majority of the coaches that I've worked under have actually contributed to the person that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been on the field or off the field.
Yeah.
Some built character, you know, some helped me look at the game differently. Mentioned like a coach Rulani, you know, gave me a different eye into analysis. She enjoyed now watching opponents and how they operate.
Mm-hmm. So
not more on my side as a player. And some coaches gave me an opportunity. So I cannot say, you know, because you
can't sing.
But there are coaches that I would never mention. Maybe I'm
mention them. But you never played a part.
There are coaches that never played a part. But they must just wait. Maybe for another episode.
Yeah, okay.
He decides to retire. Some coaches don't even need. Maybe they will even say it themselves that I didn't contribute.
Did you hear what he said? Maybe after I retire.
After you retire.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw what you did there, Lee. I saw.
Know. When I retire, you can bring back the question.
Yeah. Super.
There are coaches that
listen. Now for me, it's there's a lot of coaches that I wish I worked with, based on, you know, what I could see on the sideline, what I could read about, you know, their post interviews. Like, I've always been a player that wanted to be inspired, or the player that needed to be challenged.
Who's the one coach you would have liked?
Pizzo used to challenge me every day. And it came out as like we were fighting. We were never fighting. We never fought, but he used to challenge me every day. For my personal life, private life, but he coached me for so many years, I think 12 years. Because he when Thomas Madikgakgae, the late Thomas Madikgakgae retired, Pizzo wanted me to come and play for SuperSport. I think the year 2000, I was 18, 17 at the time, but I ran away. Then when I came back into the PSL, I went straight to SuperSport and I played under him. He drilled me. And I used to be one of those players that come to training with four guys in the car, train after the car wash. Yes. I had the biggest speaker.
Yeah.
You know, my pants were here and all that type of stuff. So he really helped me from not just on the pitch, like even off the pitch. And I guess when I became, and he's the coach that said, go to Pirates, don't go anywhere else. I'm like, yeah, Pirates is like tough wingers. I'm like, go there. So it's a coach that constantly was in my life. From, you know, everything that I've done, he really, really played a huge part. But also he's the coach also that we batted so much heads because we wanted to win. And there's so many times where I feel like he wronged us. And so many times he feel like I wronged the team. You know what I mean? But that doesn't come from a bad place. But I strongly believe that he's the coach that really, really helped me. So in everything that I do, he taught me how to analyze in 2006. He used to call me every day when Arsenal was playing, look at Rosicky, look at Nasri, look at this, come and tell me on Monday how they play. So he taught me how to analyze from 2006. So when players now talk about, we analyze after the game, I've been doing that since 2006 because he was so far ahead of this game. But he also, like Coach Olani's, the Bennies of the Silks, come back to what Sugar said, but really one has to stand out because he coached me for so many years. And besides, I won everything under him. That's Coach Pete Somsima.
Look,
a bit shorter.
Yeah.
Then Dance.
No, well, it's the first one, honestly speaking. Then Coach Dance.
But why are you saying honestly speaking? Like you say, like you think I'm joking.
Yeah, no, Coach Dance, he kind of brought that idea into me of football, how it's played and whatnot. But obviously, because of goalkeeping and everything, I'd go in towards Tyrone Damons, who's at Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
I'd lean towards the late Alex Rivaredo from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
I think you worked with him, national team, Mopopai, Alex, goalkeeper coach.
Yeah.
And then Postnet Omoni, I think one of the fantastic
the coaches, the Marine Sunderlands as well, when I'm having. So it's just a couple of coaches. To be quite fair, I'm not like Vigo. I think all the coaches that I worked under, you know.
Because, but I mean, like, see.
All the coaches that I worked under, I think they did contribute a bit, you know.
I mean, there's one.
Understanding.
Yeah. Nama, you can't defeat this conversation.
There's one.
Coach, let's be honest. Amongst the group of players, you can't say all the players you've coached all like you.
No, of course.
There's a coach that you, the player you know that,
of course,
that one doesn't like me. Yeah. He doesn't probably understand my methodology or philosophy.
Listen, that's it. You don't have to wait for the retirement. You don't have to wait because if somebody is really a professional inside this soccer game, he understands it fully as a player, as a coach, whatever in terms of. But you have to decide this is a soccer time and this is a private time. This is a human time and this is in this moment soccer where you have responsibility. Hallelujah. It was Bandile Shando. Mm-hmm. He was running around in a school game. On the college side, so he played on the number 10. Well, I said, okay, good. Will not be number 10 in this moment. Make him deeper come because he has an outstanding stamina. And what his advantage was, he was smart. He was clever. He was listening. He was willing to eat what you said, to take it what you said. And it brought him far, I think. So far, the next one, he had to fight in his own house, Chico Faco Mabasa in Bloemfontein in 2014. He had to fight in his own house because the parents said, no, you are going for the academic one. In this direction, he made an excellent his graduation on the school. But then in this moment, he has to promise he has to go to do both. And you could see as a guy 17, 18 years old, when I took him into the professional setup already early, you could see he will make it. And that was definitely what we discussed also with the parents, with the late Aiki at that time. And I can continue, but there was some bus was finished normally in this moment, but I can go to 100. Believe me, I'm working on it in the moment. Probably you will see it on LinkedIn shortly. One story in this moment where somebody got forced to his luck, that was Fadlu Davids was limping. And in December, I said, your goodness, okay, no, I go and look for another cortisone. And he had a Dr. Subin, I think, in Durban. I said, okay, good, you go. We started in January preseason, and he still was limping on the side. And I called him and I said, listen, you're not playing anymore. You go tomorrow, you go into the technical team. You be the coach. You be the assistant coach, finished, done. Into it.
He did.
He looked at me and I said, no, let me. I said, go home, talk about, think about. Next day he came back. He said, no, I have still 2 years in me. Okay, good. Then 2 years in me, then train, but you never will play again. I said, go again home and come again. Next day, chew on it. Next day he came back and said, okay, good, I'm the assistant coach. And recently I read even that was the best decision forced he ever made in his entire life.
Wow.
On that note, we've come to the end against of our, number sadly, 10. Sadly, we've come to the end of our conversation. But thank you so much for sticking with us. Thank you so much to Coach Ernst, to the regulars. Yeah.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you guys for a fantastic show. Please drop us your comments. Do follow us on all socials. And we'll definitely see you.
But who are you watching if you're not watching us?
Wow.
Drop that comment. Tell me.
Thank you. See you in the next one.